This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, and welcome to our May episode of the Go Carterton Business Spotlight. I'm Josie Askin from Spring Coaching, and with Go Carterton, your local business association, I am very proud to bring you this radio series. The Go Carterton Business Spotlight is aimed at highlighting our incredible people and businesses within Carterton. And we're lucky enough that each episode we get to chat with one of our Go Carterton members to hear their story. We'll also share what's coming up around our beautiful town so you're in the know about events, activities and opportunities to get involved. Now you may notice that there's a little bit of background noise. That's because we're actually sitting in one of our local cafes. We're here at Wild Oats on High Street, and we want to make this conversation feel as real as possible for you so that you feel like you're sitting here with us in a cafe. This means that you may hear the odd cafe noise here and there, but hopefully it just adds to the ambience and the whole vibe of the program. So I'm really, really, really so excited about this month's guests. Because today we're chatting with someone that is basically living my dream life. They're doing the thing that I wanted to do when I was a teenager. And I've been so looking forward to meeting with this person to chat to them. And of course, because this person's such a busy person and leads such a jet-setting life, she can be very hard to pin down. So we're really lucky to have her today to have a quick chat with us. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to have Rebecca Kent with me. Rebecca is the founder of Rove Culture Travel Agency, and they craft unforgettable journeys to the world's more unexpected corners. And with decades of travel experience behind her, she's all about creating trips that truly mean something. And I know today's conversation is going to be really interesting and timely, particularly with the fuel crisis happening in the Middle East. So I know there's going to be loads of questions that I want to ask Rebecca, and I'm sure she's going to have some great tips for us. So I think Rebecca's going to be the best person to introduce herself. So Rebecca, I'm going to hand over to you now to introduce yourself to our listeners at home.
Kia ora. Thanks, Josie. It's so good to be here today to have a chat.
Yay. As I said, I'm so looking forward to today's conversation. So if it's okay, I'm going to start off with a question that brings us all together. And I'd like to know, how long have you lived in this beautiful region for?
Oh, sure. We moved over from Wellington about 10 and a half years ago. And we actually came over on a Sunday drive with no intention of purchasing, and we went home with a lifestyle block.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought I had a good story, but yours beats mine. What was it about the region that just made you purchase a lifestyle block on the spot?
Yeah. we loved Carterton. We really enjoy all the secondhand stores and sort of the country vibe. My partner still works in Wellington, so he's on the train. But it just kind of gave us the best of both worlds. And our little property just has a great aspect to the land. We can see our animals, and it just felt like the right move for us both.
Fantastic. What sort of animals do you have?
Oh, so call me crazy, but I have four donkeys.
Four donkeys?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to ask, why do you have donkeys?
So we've obviously travelled quite a bit, and in our travels we've seen some really sad donkeys, some really hard-working donkeys, some neglected donkeys, and whilst we can't save them all or we can't bring them home from Egypt or Israel or wherever we might be, we thought we could do our little bit here to give donkeys in need a new home. So we've got four at the moment, three are rescues, and one was living by herself and needed some company. So, yeah, we love them.
I love that. That's so nice. Do you want to share their names? Do they have names?
Oh, they sure do. So at the moment we've got Winter and Dolly, our two girls.
Okay.
And then we've got Papa and Sunny, who are father and son.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, sounds beautiful. So really keen to know a little bit more about your story, particularly around Rove Culture. As I said, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, my dream was to get into travel. So tell us about your way. How did you get into doing what you do now?
I kind of fell into travel. My parents both worked in the airline industry.
Okay.
And when I left Polytech, I still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And Mum said to me, oh, there's a job going with ANZ New Zealand at Blenheim Airport, and Blenheim's where I grew up. And so I applied and got the role, and I absolutely loved airport life. I did 2 years at Blenheim, and then I moved over to Wellington and did 2 years at Wellington Airport. And then I packed my backpack and went off on my big OE for 5 years.
Wow.
And during that time, I worked in totally different industries in London. And then when it was time to come home, I applied to Flight Centre. Worked with them for almost, I think it was 17 or 18 years in the retail shops, both in New Zealand and then back in the UK and then in New Zealand again. And then in 2017, I went out on my own and created my own company and worked from home, which was fantastic. No more commuting to Wellington. And just haven't looked back. I love being self-employed. I love designing the type of packages that my clients really want. And, yeah, it just works so well for me.
Oh, that sounds magical. So you mentioned that you love airport life.
Yes.
I think airports are quite magical places. There's no concept of time. Like, it could be any time of the day and you wouldn't know. What do you love about airport life?
I love the emotion of airport life. Like, you know, you'll have someone that's travelling for business and they're very serious and they're in a hurry. You'll have politicians passing through. You'll have grandmas going down to their grandchild's first birthday or fifth birthday or whatever. You'll have people travelling for funerals or for, you know, ill health. So it's just a complete melting pot of humanity. I also love a good disrupt, which working at Wellington Airport, obviously we get, you know, some flights that couldn't land because the weather was
surely
too
not.
Nuts.
Not here. No, in Wellington.
And just being able to change people's day from, oh my goodness, my flight's been cancelled, to actually helping them out and letting them go off happy again, turning that situation around for them. So, yeah, I just, there's just such an energy and a hive of activity and emotions and tears and joy and everything at airports, and it's just great. And you just can't beat a good bit of people watching as well.
I was going to say that. They are the best place for people watching. And you can play so many fun games there, like trying to guess, like when you're on a plane, if someone's going home or if they're going on a holiday based on, you know, how they're walking and what they're wearing. So many fun guessing games.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Tell us a little bit more about Grove Culture. Where did that name come from?
Sure. So when I was looking to make my own brand up, every name that included travel was sort of taken, or it was too similar to another name, or the domain name was already taken. So I kind of looked left of centre and I thought, what does travel really mean to me? And the word rove, if you look at it in a dictionary, I'm not much of a dictionary user, but it's a verb, and rove means to wander around, often aimlessly. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of how I travel. I rove, or I meander, or roam. And culture, obviously we all travel to explore different cultures, to understand cultures, but also I think there's, if you put it from the other point of view, there's the culture of the people that like to travel.
Yes.
So we in ourselves have a unique sort of culture, and then we go to visit cultures and to understand cultures, or to see and experience the art culture perhaps. So yeah, those two words just kind of sum up, I think, what travel means to me.
And I have to say, it's one of my favourite questions to ask about the story behind business names, because I'm never disappointed by the amount of thought that goes into business names. It's a really big deal picking that name.
Oh, it's a huge deal. And it's kind of a bit of a risk because it doesn't say travel. So, you know, are people going to get it? Are they going to know what we do? So far it's worked. So hopefully we're getting the messaging out there.
I think it's a perfect name for you because from what I understand of what you do, you go to really exotic, exciting, kind of off-the-beaten-path sort of locations, which really kind of resonates with the idea of rogue and cultures.
Yes.
It's a perfect name.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job. So this next question is often probably one of the hardest questions to answer. And I'd imagine even more so for someone like yourself that is always flying from destination to destination. But if you had a typical day, what does your typical day look like, Rebecca?
So when I am at home in the office, my typical day is quite busy. I start work quite early. And the first thing I do is check my systems, see if any clients have been disrupted or have flights cancelled or, that sort of thing.
There's been a bit more of that recently.
Yeah. And to be fair, generally I know because generally my phone rings in the middle of the night and I get up and log on and sort it out for people. And then I check my inbox, see what new quotes, new inquiries need doing, and then just get stuck into sort of the creative side. I have a break to go out and give the donkeys their breakfast, of course.
Very good.
And then, booking away. I try and fit in a bit of marketing. And I have a colleague, Kirsty, who comes in the afternoons. So catch up with her and then give her her workload for the day. And...
That sounds like a really packed full day.
It is.
Are you more of a morning person or a night person?
I'm a morning person, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
I'm far happier working at 6 a.m. than 6 p.m. for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And you've already shared a lot about your love for travel and where that came from. What's the most rewarding? Like, what's the thing that kind of puts like a spring in your step about your job that you do?
I think it comes back to the humanity sort of side of it, both for my clients, sending them somewhere new, exploring new horizons for them, or helping them out when they're in a bit of a pickle. They might be travelling for a bereavement, or they might be travelling and something goes wrong and they need some assistance. But also the humanity side at the destination, so letting them experience that new culture. If they're going to Africa, they might see a totally different side to humanity that might be a complete culture shock to them. But it's so important for us to all learn and hopefully be better people and make our society better overall if we all understand a little bit further.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I mean, sometimes the most memorable parts of a trip away aren't the fun highlights, it's what you learn about other cultures and what you see and witness that really kind of they're the things that you remember more than seeing those kind of tourist traps.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the humanity and the food.
And the food, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So in a moment I'm keen to dive into a little bit more around, just kind of uncertainty around travel at the moment.
Yes.
But before we do, let's break for a song that gives us a chance to have a sip of our coffees. And today's song is April Sun in Cuba by Dragon, which I think is just, it kind of sums up travel for me. It's very uplifting, very kind of bright and happy.
Yeah.
So let's pause for a song.
Tell me I should stay, but I got to Summer's on the run. Birds in the winter sky are heading for the sun.
I really do love that song. I think the opening lyrics, I'm tired of the city life, summer's on the run, really does sum up what Rove culture is all about. So if it's okay, I know that it's kind of, there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment about travel, so I do want to dive into that a little bit more. I feel lucky that we have you right now to be able to talk about this. So how is the situation in the Middle East and the fuel prices affecting you and your customers at the moment?
Yeah, so it is having a big impact.
Imagine.
That's for certain, yeah. What we're finding at the moment is capacity on other airlines that don't go through the Middle East is, well, they're at capacity. So if someone was, you know, booked or thinking about going on Emirates or Qatar through the Middle East, they've now rebooked to go via Singapore or Hong Kong or the USA. And so trying to get a seat now at a reasonable price through those other transit hubs is very difficult or very expensive. And then on top of that, airlines are now having to charge additional fuel surcharges, of course, to keep up with the cost of fuel. And so it is a bit of a double whammy. It's still absolutely possible to travel.
Okay.
My biggest advice would be book as early as you possibly can.
That's really great advice.
Yeah, yeah. So I did see some seats in the system the other day for flights through to Europe for September, October, which were reasonably priced. But anything prior to then is sort of, not nicely priced, shall we put it that way?
Yeah. Not nicely priced. I think that should be like a little slogan for the day. Not nicely priced.
Yeah, exactly. And we've still got some customers who are booked to travel via Dubai to Europe. And they're choosing to hold out and some are choosing to travel. And that is obviously their choice. There is a strong government, well, there's a do not travel warning from our government and from, I think, every government in the world.
Okay.
So if you do choose to travel that way, then it is entirely at your own risk. You will have no travel insurance cover. If your flight does get diverted or disrupted or what have you, and you end up having to spend 3 or 4 days in Dubai, then your accommodation will be your own expense because you've been advised by the government not to travel, and you won't be able to claim that through travel insurance. But of course it is people's own choice, and some people are still travelling that way, and you know, that's fine if they're happy to do so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if we have listeners at home at the moment and say they've got a holiday planned, say in June, July, August, so not immediately but coming up in the future, what would you recommend they do? Should they be looking at alternative flights at the moment or just hang fire and wait and see how things go? Or?
For our customers travelling in June, and we're starting to talk to our July people now, we are seeing what they want to do. We're telling them all the facts, like that there's do not travel warning, that you don't have travel insurance cover for any acts of war. And we're starting to look at backup flights for them. So in some cases, we're holding the Emirates flights on the hope that the situation will be resolved by then, because we all live in hope. And we're booking them a backup flight on an alternative airline via, you know, another transit hub that might be safer. And then at the last minute, they'll make a decision whether which one they cancel and which one they go with.
Your customers are very lucky. I guess that's one of the biggest benefits of organising a holiday or a trip through someone like you, that you handle all that stress for them.
Yeah, yeah. No, we do. We do. And we get daily updates from the likes of Emirates, Qatar, travel insurance providers, hotels, tourism boards, all of that. Like, I probably get 15 to 20 emails a day about, which is a little overwhelming, but I tend to just file them and then they're there when we need them. And when there is a big update, like Emirates, for instance, if you're travelling by 31 May, you can have a refund.
Okay.
And get your money back, which is great.
Yes.
So when there's a big update like that, the next update will be that they'll allow people travelling in June to have a refund if the conflict's ongoing. And then as soon as we see that update, we're out to all of our people that probably have double flights booked, and we'll say, okay, we can now get your money back. Shall we go and refund your Emirates tickets? And yeah, it's all part of the service, I guess. And in this situation, the quicker you act, the less it's going to cost, because unfortunately none of this is travel covered by insurance, so there is a bit of a cost to the consumer. So we're just trying to minimise that expense for our clients.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that travel is doable.
Absolutely.
It could be a little bit more challenging, and it's definitely a good time to be working with a professional like yourself to organise travel.
Yeah.
With that certainty and that, having that stress taken away.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Having someone in your corner when it does go wrong is quite important, and it's events like this that really bring it home. But on any travel, you could, you know, break your leg 2 days before you're due to set out, and if you've got someone in your corner, that's quite handy at that time.
It would be, because there'd be enough to deal with, and
let alone particularly if you suddenly need surgery or something on your leg. I guess this situation really highlights our worth, but our worth is actually there all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so talking about travelling, and I'm always so amazed by the magical, incredible, exciting places you go to, where are you and your team flying to this year?
Well, this year already, Kirsty's been off to Fiji on an educational trip, and then she has just got back from a roadie from Perth up to Broome.
Cool.
Yeah, in a four-wheel drive with a tent on the top of the four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
So that was exceptional.
What's the Australian equivalent of a trumpet ice cream to have on a roadie?
Oh, is it a cornetto?
Maybe, yeah. It's just going back to the food topic.
Yeah. I think it was more like put another shrimp on the barbie over there. And then I've just been to Azerbaijan and Georgia.
Okay. As you do.
As you do. And then I came home for all of about a week, and I just got back from South Korea. And then in June...
I told you you have a glamorous life.
And in June, I'm heading to Taiwan.
Wow.
Yeah, and Taiwan's been on my to-do list for a very long time.
Okay.
So I'm really pleased to finally be getting up there. Mm. And we're finding a lot more people are wanting to explore both Taiwan and South Korea now. Like, a lot of people have been to Japan, the big Japan rush.
I'm doing Japan in September. So many questions to ask you.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so the natural progression after Japan seems to be Taiwan and South Korea.
Leave my husband, you know, warm up the
idea. Yeah, give him the hints. Yeah, yeah. So, no, we've been very lucky to get in some really good trips prior to the fuel crisis.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't know how many more we'll fit in this year due to the fuel crisis, but... yeah, it's nice to have a few ticked off and scratch your itchy feet a little bit.
You must, like, just have a suitcase already packed, ready to go for all of your trips. Like, you must have, like, a whole wardrobe just for travelling in.
Really much.
Yeah. I told you, you're living the dream.
Thank you.
So what are some of the more unusual places, and you've already listed some more exotic places, what are some of the more unusual places that you've travelled to?
Probably some of the Middle Eastern ones. I have been lucky enough, as I said, Azerbaijan was amazing. That really stole my heart, actually. Israel, pre all the conflicts, and that was just a melting pot of culture. And even when I went, it had its issues, but it was very interesting to try and understand a little of the issues, because at the time I went, I totally didn't understand them. Egypt, Morocco.
Oh, so Egypt is on my bucket list. Oh. I saw you've got a tour coming up actually for Egypt.
Yes.
Again, we might have another conversation.
And anyone going to Egypt, my biggest advice is to start reading your history before you go. Really try and understand the ancient Egyptians a little bit more. I kind of feel like I need to go back again to Egypt now.
Okay.
Because either it wasn't in my school curriculum or I wasn't at school that day, perhaps. They were one heck of a civilization.
Yes, I remember learning about Egypt when I was at school, and that's kind of always fueled my fascination with it. It's just, it seems like such an interesting place to go to.
Yeah, and how they built those tombs and those pyramids, and they're still standing today. The tombs haven't imploded. And
how did they move the big heavy blocks around?
And the medicine that they did.
Yes.
Just phenomenal. And there's this big temple down in southern Egypt, Abu Simbel.
Mm.
And they wanted to flood the area to make a dam, a hydro dam. And so they took it apart stone by stone and numbered them and moved them up the hill and put them back together. And with all the modern technology, in the old temple, the sun would shine in and it would light up the four gods at the back. And now they've moved it and the light shines in and it lights up like two of the gods. They just, with all our modern technology, they could not make it. They could not recreate it. It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
Yeah.
People are so clever, like what they could do.
Yeah, And for it to still not be understood today,
yes,
goes, it's a mystery.
Indeed. So then, kind of a similar question, what's the most interesting or unusual holiday you've had to plan for one of your customers?
I think Madagascar, actually.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
Yeah, so a father and his 10 or 11-year-old daughter, they travel a lot, and they're kind of at the stage now that it's quite hard to find them, new destinations
new places to go to
that you'd take a child to. Yeah. And so we did a trip for them through Madagascar. It was tailor-made. The roads in Madagascar are shocking, and obviously travelling with a child, you didn't want too long a days or too, it's the kind of place where you... it will take you 6 hours to go 100 kilometres. So that was a really good mix of culture, wildlife, beaches, rivers, towns, history. But it was a really fine balance of getting the driving times right, mix of wildlife, the mix of everything to engage the father, who's incredibly well-travelled, to engage the daughter, who's also incredibly well-travelled, but obviously they've got quite different interests and all. And there was a coup.
Oh, no! They're not like the movie at all then, yeah. It's all
songs
and dancing.
Luckily the coup was just on their second to last day and they were fine. We got them out of the country fine. But it did go into curfew and all. So just making sure that they were safe. But we had a really good ground operator looking after them who was kind of used to dealing with coups and what happens in these situations. I think Madagascar was probably... Madagascar with that client fit of differing needs and interests and what have you. Yeah.
And I'm assuming they had the most amazing time.
Oh, they certainly did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about kind of more far away, maybe more unusual destinations. If we have listeners at home and are thinking, oh, you know, I'd love to get away and have a holiday, but I don't know if I'm up to travelling to Madagascar, do you also do more kind of holidays close to home, say like Fiji or Australia and kind of the more...
Yeah, we absolutely do. And given the situation in the Middle East and the cost of fuel and all, we are looking at, we will be loading more close to home product on our website. But even if something's not on our website, we can absolutely do it. So Kirsty and I are both Fiji specialists. Mm. I've been to Tahiti 5 times, lucky me. So anything close to home, South Pacific, Australia, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, that sort of thing. Or if people want to go the opposite way, like South America, the States, Asia, anywhere we can do it. Antarctica.
Wow. I have to say, I love looking at your website on a rainy day. And so I feel like maybe our listeners are missing out. Can you... Our listeners know what your website is, so they too can check out all your amazing trips and tours that you do.
Yeah, of course. It's roveculture.nz.
Amazing. Such a good website to check out. So let's have another pause. Let's have another song break, because I am keen to know more about Rove Culture, particularly your future plans. You strike me as someone that's very ambitious,
sure.
So I'm sure you've got some great ideas coming up. But let's pause for a song, and our next song is actually one of my all-time favourite songs, so... This song is a song that I love to listen to when I'm out running, particularly if I'm running up the top of a hill, because when I get to the top, I just feel like I'm on top of the world. So our next song is called On Top of the World by Imagine Dragons.
Down.
Welcome back. Yeah, I really love that song. It's such a good one. Just makes me feel good when I hear it.
Yeah.
So Rebecca, I know that you have decades, like so much experience in travel. Can you tell us more about your experience and also your team as well?
You're going to make me feel old now.
Sorry, I did not mean that at all. You're very young.
So I worked in the airline industry, as I mentioned earlier, and I worked for 4 years in the industry before moving to the UK and working in other sectors. And then I have been a travel agent and agency owner for, goodness me, 20 years. So, yeah, I'm about 20.
You don't look old enough to be in the industry for 20 years.
So, yeah, probably a quarter of a century in the industry for myself. And then Kirsty, who works with me, she's been in the industry for around 10 years. So she has worked as a as a tour leader over in South America, guiding travellers through all parts of South America. And then between us, I've travelled to just over 70 countries, lucky me.
70.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a life's passion for
me.
Do
you have like a map at home where you have like little pins of all the places that you've been, and your passport must look amazing?
I wish we still got stamps.
I know, what's with that?
Yeah, I know, it's so unfair.
I'd be so proud of my passport.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not actually sure how many countries Kirsty's been to, but I'd say at least 30, if not 40.
Over 100 between you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, obviously there's some double ups there, but yeah, so we really pride ourselves on both our passion and our experience. Yeah.
Yeah, your customers are definitely in good hands. You must have seen absolutely everything that could happen.
Yeah, and we've both travelled on budget airlines, we've travelled in business class, and we've travelled everything in between. Yeah. We've been disrupted. I've been disrupted quite a bit lately. And my last three trips have not been.
I've had that domestically recently as well.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
Yep, I feel your pain there.
Been a few shockers domestically recently.
Maybe we should go there.
And yeah, so we have kind of had all those experiences. We've travelled, well, I've definitely travelled in a leaky boat, a boat that's sunk, all sorts of things. So experience really does count in how to handle it. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
You're always so cool, calm and collected. I can't imagine you ever being frazzled with everything you've dealt with.
We're kind of like ducks, you know, like the feet under the water going 100 miles an hour, but trying to be cool and calm on the outward facing to keep our clients calm.
Your clients are in very good hands.
Thank you.
And we're so lucky to have you here in Carterton with all of your knowledge and your experience. So lucky.
Thank you.
So if that's okay, can you share a little bit about your future expansion plans? As much as you feel comfortable, of course, sharing.
Yeah, of course. I'm always on the lookout for an experienced consultant to join us. So if anyone's listening.
What sort of skills are you looking for?
Well, ideally I'd want someone who has worked as a travel agent previously.
That's me out instantly, unfortunately.
Also, anyone that is well-travelled, highly organised, has great attention to detail, then, you know, do get in touch. I am speaking with someone at the moment who used to be a travel consultant prior to COVID-19, and then, you know, COVID took a lot of people out of our industry. So that person is looking at potentially re-entering the industry, so fingers crossed that all pans out. But if there's anyone else out there listening, please do get in touch.
I can check some of
those
boxes. But
so yeah, just you must be well travelled initially, like minimum 5 countries, ideally 10 countries under your belt. And just that eagerness and a willingness to learn. Our job is very technical. Our systems are clunky, But that clunky, or that you know, those older systems allow us to really manipulate airfares, manipulate. You know, it's not like booking on an airline website sort of thing. It's quite different, which allows us to really, tailor make a flight schedule that you can't do online, which is where we come into our own, really, as
again,
far as
airfares. Again, it's so valuable and powerful, particularly at a time like this. I mean, always really valuable, but particularly at a time like this.
So, we are looking to expand.
Amazing.
We've definitely got the demand there from our clients and a growing database to expand, to take on the new business, even with the Middle East
crisis. You're
going
to take over the world.
Well,
I knew you'd have some great plans this year. So I felt comfortable that I could ask that question.
Yeah.
I know that you'd have so many plans under your belt.
Yeah.
And I think I've already mentioned I've spent a fair bit of time on your website checking out all your different tours and things, and I see that you market yourself as a mobile travel agency. What exactly do you mean by that? Like, I can make a guess, but I'd love to hear in your own words, what is a mobile travel agency?
So because we don't have a retail shop on the high street, so to speak, we want to make sure that we're available to our clients in a way that suits our clients. So we offer meetings by Zoom or Teams. We offer telephone and email consults, of course. We can come and meet you at your place of work or at a cafe or at your home, you know, as long as you're reasonably...
Really flexible.
Really flexible. We have an office in Clareville, which clients can come to by prior appointment. And then we also do a drop-in session at Elmo's Cafe in Carterton every Friday morning from 9:30 to 11:30. No appointments required, just come in and have a coffee on us. And
that must be really popular.
Yeah, it is. It's really starting to get traction now. And we're there every Friday morning, unless we're not in the country. In which case, we'll put a post up and let people know that we're not going to be there. Yeah. But
I've seen you there, actually, and I've seen you lots of people. So
it is good. Yeah.
Nice. And so before we wrap up the interview, is there anything that we haven't covered yet that you'd like our listeners to know about the different services that you offer?
Yeah, there is one thing, and it's kind of a little bit, you probably think this is quite a weird topic to talk about, but we offer a bereavement travel service. And what that means is if you get that horrible phone call, you know, the one that everyone dreads in life, and you suddenly need to drop and run, be that domestically or overseas or wherever, and you're obviously in a state of shock and probably can't think clearly, and you need someone to organise your flights, maybe a rental car, maybe a visa. Our clients can call us, be it 2 o'clock in the morning, we don't mind, call us. If you know that situation is coming up, get in touch with us before it happens, because we can have a chat about routes, about visas, about potential costs, about who will be travelling, who won't be travelling, are you just going to go one way for now, or you know, how long will you be away for? The hardest thing when that happens is having to answer a bunch of questions, and this is why we restrict our bereavement service to just our repeat clients, because then we've already got their names, their passports, their frequent flyer numbers, all those million and one questions that I have to ask a new client. We already have all that information from existing clients. So we only offer this to our existing clients. But they can call us at 2 a.m. or what have you and say, I need to go now. And I don't need to ask them very much more because we've already had the chat. Or if we haven't had the chat, if it's a surprise bereavement, then I know them well enough to know most of what I would normally have to ask. And I can say, right, hang up now. You go and sort out everything else that you need to sort out. There'll be an email in your inbox in 1 hour. and I'll give you a call in 1 hour and we'll go from there. And so although it's a bit of an odd service to offer people, it's
it must be such a huge relief. I mean, just the burden that you're taking off people's shoulders is massive.
Yeah, and look, my grandma died while I was overseas, and it hurt, and to be able to have someone to organise things for me and to get me home was, you know, it's a big deal, right?
Yeah, there's just so much really going on. It's overwhelming. And to have someone take away such a big chunk of stress is a real gift. So I'm really glad that you've shared that with me and our listeners at home, because that's huge you're offering.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
No trouble.
Yeah. Thank you. So if our listeners are at home and are thinking, how do I get in contact with this amazing lady, Rebecca, to organise my next trip to, say, Japan? What's the best way for them to contact you, Rebecca?
If you jump on our website, roveculture.nz, that's got our contact details, our phone numbers, our emails, or just our generic info@roveculture.nz, and that will obviously reach us, or drop into Elmo's Cafe on Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and we'll be there to see you.
Nice. Oh, that sounds fantastic. I know I'll be on Friday morning, so I might see some of our listeners there as well. Thank you so much, Rebecca. That's been just amazing. I've loved hearing all of your travel stories and all about the services you offer to your customers. It's been amazing.
Oh,
thank you.
It's great to be able to share it.
Yeah. Before we wrap up altogether, I did have another little bit of news to share with our listeners, and it's a piece of Go Carterton news, actually. So Go Carterton, as you know, is our local business association, and we've been doing a little bit of rebranding. So we've got a new website, which is very exciting, a change from what was just the Carterton website to the exclusive Go Carterton website. And we also have a new brand that's about to be launched. And so you may have seen already in your inbox that we have a launch party coming up on the 19th of May. So hopefully everyone can make it there. It'll be a fantastic event. I'm personally really looking forward to it. I'm sure hopefully, Becca, you'll be there too.
I will be there. Absolutely.
In our diaries. So for our listeners at home, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what is Go Carterton? How can I get involved? I sound like I'm missing out on lots and lots of fun. Please do join. There's more information about Go Carterton on the program page, but you can also check out the March episode, and that gives you a little bit more information around what Go Carterton is, all the benefits, including being a Business Wire Rapper member as well, so all the training that they offer. And then if you want to take that next step and you're at home and you're thinking, I want to be just like Rebecca, I want to be interviewed by Josie enough, so lots of tricky questions, please get in contact. I'd love to have you on the show. But other than that, I think I'll wrap it up for today, for this month. So that's all for me, Josie Asen from Spring Coaching. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into our Go Carterton Business Spotlight. I look forward to sharing more inspiring local stories with you next month. Ka kite.